All right, let's grab our Bibles. We're going to try and get Daniel out of the lion's den. You know, the poor guy. You know, in the Bible, he was only there for one night, and we've had him there for a week, and so we got to get him out of there. If you're new with us, we've been going through this study in the book of Daniel. It's a book in the Bible, your Old Testament, the first part of your Bible. We've been calling this Adventures in Faith and Living a Life of Greatness. And every chapter, we've been assigning a word. And in chapter 6, we are assigned the word perseverance. That God is looking for men and women with some grit, with some good stubbornness, with some people, God is looking for people that have resoluteness, who has persistence. All of us go through difficult times. Daniel is going through an extremely difficult time in his life. And what we're challenged by him is that he walks through it with strength. He walks through it with perseverance. So we've been looking at this chapter in this word. And if you've been following along with us, you know in chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, that Darius is the new king in the kingdom. The Medo-Persian Empire has taken over for the Babylonian Empire. And Darius has divided his empire into 120 regions. And over each region, he has put a governor. They're called satraps in the text. 120 regional governors. And then he's placed three people in charge of all 120. He calls them commissioners. We would call them presidents. And it tells us in the first couple of verses of this chapter that Daniel is one of the three commissioners. And in verse 3, it tells us that Darius is about ready to promote Daniel to number one. Well, the rest of the satraps and the governors become jealous. And so they initiate a conspiracy to get rid of Daniel. And the way that they do it is they go to the king and they say, King, we need you to make a law that no one can pray but to you for 30 days. And so the king signs the law. Now, when the Medes and the Persians came together as an empire, they had a rule that said if one of them makes a law, it cannot be revoked. And so these commissioners knew that once the king signed that law, it could not be vetoed or revoked. So then they went and spied on Daniel, who went up into his room and he continued to pray to God. And they came running to the king and they said, Darius, do you remember signing that law? There's a man who's disobeying you and neglecting the law, and his name is Daniel. His name is Daniel. But we're going to find that Daniel has some grit to him. You know, as I was looking at some other verses in the Bible, I found this one in Habakkuk. I shared a couple of weeks ago. It's Habakkuk, and it says, from a personal perspective, he says, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vine, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food. Now, this is disaster for a farmer. And though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, that's disastrous for the rancher. Yet I will what? Exalt in the Lord. Wow, you see the grit? You see the perseverance? I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. That's what we're talking about. That when we go through difficult times, we don't just cave in to negativity. But that we know how to be a good kind of stubborn and walk through and allow God to get us out on the other side. Daniel found in this particular story that he had an unexpected advocate in King Darius. Because it tells us in this story that when King Darius heard that Daniel had forsaken the law, he knew that Daniel should be cast into the lion's den. And it says in the text in verses 14 and 15 that it broke his heart. That he loved Daniel. In fact, it tells us in verses 14 and 15, as soon as the king heard the statement, he was deeply distressed, and he set his mind on delivering Daniel even until sunset. He kept exerting himself to rescue him. We talked about this last week, how sometimes when you and I are going through difficult times, God will bring us an advocate that we didn't expect. He'll provide for us a friend. He'll provide for us a helper. He'll provide for us a resource. Because God wants to help us through our difficult times. And in this situation, it was King Darius. But the conspirators saw that Darius, he's trying to get Daniel out. And so in verse 15, they go back to the king and they say, King, now remember the law of the Medes and the Persians. You cannot revoke this law. And all of a sudden, Darius begins to understand what's really going on. That this whole episode is a ploy to destroy Daniel. And so we see in verse 16, then the king gave orders and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, your God whom you constantly serve will himself deliver you. And this is where we ended last week. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. We saw that this was a terrible night for the king. The king had put the stone over the lion's den, had put the wax ring around it to seal it, and had put his signet ring, which means nobody dare break this seal or you'll face me. And then he had all of the nobles, all 120 of the satraps, and the other two commissioners press their ring into the wax to seal it. And Daniel was inside. If you can just use your imagination for a moment, what do you think Daniel was feeling? He's in this dark place, all alone. I wonder if he sang a song like we sang, I have a maker, he knows my name. He sees every tear that falls. Sometimes we find ourselves in the lion's den, don't we? See, sometimes our trials on a scale of 1 to 10, they get to a 2 and we go, God, get us out of this. And God says, no, I'm going to take you a little deeper. And we get to a 3 or to a 4, and all of a sudden, we're uncomfortable. It's a little hurtful. And God says, I'm gonna take you a little further. And now a trial turns into a 6 or a 7, and now I'm hurting. I'm laying awake at night. I'm waking up in the morning with this on my mind. This is a true difficult painful experience. And God says, you know what? I'm going to take you a little deeper. I'm going to take you to that 9. I'm going to take you to that 10. I'm going to put you in a place that is dark and lonely because that's where I do my best work. And Daniel was cast into the lion's den. How do we respond to the lion's den? You know, as our Christmas desserts have been going on, talking to a couple of the cast members, there's a cast member that tomorrow morning is going to head out of town to visit their father who is dying of cancer, and they think this may be the last time they see him this side of heaven. And yet they're singing because that's how they want to persevere. Someone else in the cast, beautiful woman, lost her son earlier this year and out in the bathroom crying her eyes out because it's difficult this time of year, and yet she's up here singing for the glory of God in her lion's den. How do we respond in the lion's den? We're going to see a couple of things from Daniel this morning that I hope will encourage you, because if you're not in the lion's den, you've probably been in the lion's den. And if you haven't been in the lion's den and you're not in the lion's den, guess what? Because what we learn from the scriptures is that God does his deepest work in me at the 9 or 10 trial, not at the 1 or 2 trial. And you know, if I've been in the 9 and the 10, and God is so special there. And how he reveals himself to you and how he comes alongside you is so rich compared to how he does it in the ones and the twos. And yet we're so afraid of the lion's den. Let's see what happens. So the king is sleepless. Daniel's in the lion's den. And we pick up the story in verse 19. Then the king arose at dawn at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. Now you'll notice it tells us twice. He rose at dawn at the break of what? At the break of day. See, in order for Darius to fulfill the law, he had to leave Daniel in there until the next day. He couldn't throw Daniel into the lion's den and then in an hour get him out or in 2 hours get him out. But as soon as Darius could rescue Daniel, it tells us he got up before dawn. As soon as the light, the morning was turning to gray, and he with haste went down to the lion's den. He runs down to the pit. Verse 20, and when he came near the den to Daniel, he cried out. This is so compassionate. With a troubled voice, the king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, who you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? His advocate. And again, I just want to encourage you with the thought that when you're going through the toughest of stuff, look to see the advocate that God has brought to you. And when your friends are going through the toughest of stuff, may you rise up and be an advocate for them that pleads with God on their behalf. Daniel's response in verse 21 and verse 22, then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. Verse 22, my God sent his what? Angel and shut the lion's mouth and they have not harmed me. What I want you to notice here very specifically is that when the angel came, the angel did not slay the lions. The angel did not cast a sleeping spell over the lions. The angel did not remove the appetites of the lions. So in other words, God did not send an angel into the lion's den to solve all of the elements of the circumstances. What he did was he sent the angel into the lion's den to clamp close the lion's mouth to protect Daniel. Sometimes when we're going through difficulties, God is not going to solve every element of the problem, but what he's going to do is provide you a way through the problem. If we're always expecting God to solve all of our problems to completion, we're going to be disappointed because most of the time, God just gives us enough strength and enough answers to get us through the problem. He doesn't always solve all the elements of it. But then you'll know what Daniel, notice what Daniel says. Daniel says there in verse 22, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him and also toward you, O king, I've committed no crime. Daniel declares his innocence. But this is so good. This is so good. Daniel doesn't declare his innocence until God proves his innocence. Daniel didn't go to the lion's den yelling and screaming about his innocence. When we're going through difficulties and we think people have done something unjust or we don't feel like we deserve to be in the lion's den, it is so easy for us to complain or to declare why we shouldn't be there. When in the end, God will make it clear. God will make it clear. Daniel didn't worry about always defending himself. He let God defend him. And he declared his innocence. So let's see what happens. It says there in verse 23, then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and watch this, no injury whatever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. There wasn't a piece of torn clothing from an animal's claw, from the lion's claw. There wasn't a scratch from a lion's paw. There wasn't a nibble out of his side. There was nothing. God completely protected him. That reminded me of chapter 3 when the three friends were taken into the fiery furnace by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar saw four men in there, remember? The fourth one. And then it says in chapter 3, verse 27, the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire that they had been thrown into had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their heads singed, nor was their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. God completely rescued them. In the heat of the moment, God sent his divine advocate and completely rescued them unscathed, unharmed, and fully intact. He did it for the three friends, and now in chapter 6, he does it for Daniel. So we see in Daniel 2 advocates, we see the human advocate of Darius that God provides. And then we see the divine advocate of the angel. And when you and I are going through difficulties in our life, I would suggest to you that God is going to do the same. That he's going to bring a human advocate, and then he's going to give you his presence and his power to get through the difficulty that you're facing. Now, there could be a danger here. There could be a danger of us saying, you know what? Why doesn't God do this for me? Why doesn't God do this for my family? My family's gone through difficulty. My family has suffered, and God didn't completely rescue us unscathed. Because you'll see there at the end of verse 23 that there was no injury whatever was found on Daniel because he had what? Trusted in his God. Well, the question that I had in my mind was, wait a minute. I've gone through difficulty that God hasn't rescued me. I've gone through those nines and tens. You've gone through those nines and tens. You've had family members that have passed away. You've had injury. You've had setbacks. You've had times of difficulty where God hasn't rescued you. Is it because you didn't trust in your God enough? And we have to realize the story of Daniel. We have to understand the book as a whole. We have to understand why these two stories are there. Remember, chapter 2 through chapter 7 was written in the Aramaic language, which is God's message from Daniel to the nations of the earth. And the point of the three friends in the fiery furnace and the point of Daniel in the lion's den was to communicate to the nations of the world that God is a personal God and he has the power to do whatever he wants to do in your life. But it doesn't mean that every time God rescues us unscathed. That's the message that God wanted to communicate to the Gentile world. But as we go through the pages of the Bible, we find that there's many, many, many followers of God that don't come out unscathed. We can look at the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and talk about the dozens and dozens and hundreds of people throughout time that went into the lion's den and did not come out completely unscathed. Why? Because God is trying to communicate to the world his personal presence, his personal strength. The message of Daniel chapter 6 is not that every follower of God will always be rescued unscathed. The message of Daniel 6 is a message to the world that God is not a distant, uncaring, unloving God, but he's right here. And he's right in your life. That's why Daniel chapter 6 is here. So the king picks him up. Now, I love verse 24, and maybe I'm twisted because verse 24 is my favorite verse of the chapter. But verse 24 says, then the king gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Justice is served. Justice is served. We see that Darius is doing something interesting, and we're going to learn from this. First of all, the question is, why would the wives and the children be included? That seems rather harsh. It's important for us to know who was thrown into the lion's den. You'll see there in verse 24, it tells us that those men who had maliciously accused Daniel. Now, historians and scholars have two ideas. Was it just the two commissioners and their families? Or was it all 120 satraps and their wives and their families? Well, it depends on who maliciously accused Daniel. And so if we go back to in chapter 6 to verse 4, we find there that it says that the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground to accuse Daniel. And then in verse 6, it tells us, then these commissioners and satraps came in agreement to the king. And then in verse 11, it says, now these men came by agreement to the king. Verse 12, it tells us, and they approached the king, talking about this group of men. And then in verse 13, it says, and they answered and said and spoke to the king. And then in verse 15, it says, then these men came by agreement to the king. If we follow the line down, it makes logical sense that the group that is referred to in verse 24 is not just the two commissioners, but actually it's all 120 satraps, or what we would call governors. 122 were involved in the conspiracy. And so when the king brought down judgment, he brought it down, most likely, as Josephus, the historian, tells us, on all 122. Now, I don't mind 122 being thrown into the lion's den, right? That's justice. But why were their wives and their children? Well, it's because the Medo-Persian Empire had another irrevocable law. Just as the law about praying to anyone but Darius for 30 days could not be revoked, so there was another Medo-Persian law that must be enforced in this moment by Darius, and he could not revoke it either. And here's the law. The law said, on account of the guilt of one, all his kindred must perish. In other words, if there is an individual who is convicted of a capital offense and needs to be executed as a result of that conviction, their kindred must also perish with them. Why? Number one, it was a deterrent against crime. If I know that what I do could become a capital offense, and if I'm convicted of that capital offense, and I know that I am not only going to be the one paying for the penalty, but my wife and my children are going to pay the penalty for my crime, then I will be less likely to commit that crime. Yes? I'm going to think about it more. So this law was actually a deterrent to crime. The second reason is because in the ancient world, if you killed someone's father, more than likely when you grew up as the son, you would get a group of people together to take revenge against your father. And so Darius, in order to protect his throne, if he was going to commit capital punishment on an individual, he needed to also wipe out their family so that later on a rebellion couldn't grow against the king. So the Medes and the Persians made a law. If someone in your family is convicted of a capital offense, the whole family has to go. And just as Darius could not revoke the law that put Daniel in the lion's den, so he could not revoke this law and allow these conspirators to escape. This is so good. You know why? Because the very law that the conspirators tried to use against Daniel was now used against who? Them. Boy, isn't there a lesson in that? There's a verse in the New Testament that says, be careful if you consume other people, lest you be what? Consumed. If I use my words to tear your life down, I better be careful, because pretty soon the boomerang's going to come back and the life that's going to be torn down is mine. If I use my power, my influence, if I use my strength to ruin your life and to gossip about other people and to tear them down or to do them harm, I better be careful, because the Bible says pretty soon all of that is going to turn against me. Be careful how you consume other people, because that is how you're going to be consumed. And these satraps and commissioners, we're learning that lesson firsthand. And so the king in verse 24 said, "Oh, by the way, fellas, just as you pressured me to not revoke the law about the prayer, I just want you to know there's another law that maybe you weren't aware of that I've got to throw you in. And I've got to throw your wives in. And I've got to throw your children in." And so it says there that before they hit the bottom, the lions got them. And we're talking hundreds of people. That's why I think that there wasn't just, as we see in the artist's renderings, maybe three or four lions. There were most likely dozens of lions here, starving, ready. And then we see that Daniel flourishes. Verse 28, so Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's see if we can wrap up this chapter with a couple of thoughts. What can we learn from Daniel's tribulation in the lion's den? Number one, sometimes our trials are due to the choices of others. It's just a fact of life that sometimes you're going through a lion's den experience because of the choices of other people. You're connected to other people. Other people are connected to you, and you can't control the choices that they make and the situations that they find themselves in, but they impact you. And it's not always fair, it's not always just, but it's the reality of life. I have to accept the fact that my life is impacted by other people. And just because you're going through a tribulation or trial because of the choices of others doesn't make it any less real. Sometimes people blow it, and those people are close to you. Sometimes people get sick. Sometimes people pass away, and their life dramatically impacts you, and you find yourself in the lion's den because of the circumstances or the choices of someone else. That's what Daniel was facing. And Daniel could have railed against the injustice of it. He could have railed against the people. He could have railed against the plan of God, but instead, Daniel just saw it as part of life. You know how old Daniel was when he went into the lion's den? How old was he? 80. You know, some of those artist renderings make him look like he's 24, 25. That's how old was when he went in. The next morning he came out, he was 80. I mean, that's how hard of experience it was. The second thing we learn is that perseverance includes more than simply endurance. We talked about this a bit last week. One of the patterns that I see in Daniel's life that I just so envy is that when he was going through a difficult time, he wasn't just saying, "Okay, God, I'm going through the tough stuff. Help me not to go negative. Help me not to get critical. Help me not to get angry. Help me not to get bitter. Help me not to take revenge. Help me just to endure it without going negative." But what we learn from Daniel is that when he went through the tough stuff, he always came out a better man. He always came out on top. And he didn't have to because, man, he just went through stuff. I mean, remember, he was born in Jerusalem, the city of God, and now he's living in Babylon, the epitome of the opposite of the city of God. He grew up in a noble family. He had privilege. He had position. And now he's a slave. He had a bright future. He had a great plan for his life. And now he's a eunuch and he has no children and his name dies with him. And he grew up within walking distance of the temple where the presence of his God dwelt. And now the closest he can get is a rooftop where he opens the windows and he's hundreds of miles away. And yet when he goes through these experiences, time and again, at the end, we see he's a better man. See, perseverance in the biblical definition is not just getting through something without going negative. But so many times that's what I say, isn't it? I say, "Wow, I'm having a problem with my kid. God, help me just not to kill him, you know, or help me not to hate him." or I get taken advantage of. Lord, help me not to become bitter. Help me to get through this. And God is saying, okay, that's good, but man, I can do more. I can come out of this a better parent. I can come out of this a better person. I can come out of this with joy and strength that I never had before. So when you're going through the tough stuff, let's remember that perseverance includes more than simply endurance. More than endurance. We learned that from Daniel. Third, God's rescue may be later than we desire. Boy, isn't that true. I'm sure Daniel, as he was being marched down to the lion's den, said, okay, God, anytime. You can send that angel now and kind of lay these guards to waste and let me back into my room so I can sleep in my bed tonight. God says, no. As he's standing over the hole, getting ready to be thrown in, he sees the lions down there and they're roaring. Daniel could have said, okay, God, now's the time. But God lets him stay all night. You know, sometimes God lets us go through the trial longer than we want to. And you know, sometimes God's rescue isn't until heaven. Sometimes we're going to struggle with stuff until we see him. As you look at the book of 2 Timothy and Paul's life at the end, you can still feel the groans of difficulty in his life. And he tells us in Corinthians that he prayed, God, I got this terrible problem and I've asked you 3 times to get me out of it. And all 3 times God said what? No. God's rescue always happens. It always happens. But sometimes it doesn't happen until we're there. And just because God doesn't rescue me on my time frame doesn't mean he's abandoned us. It just means he wants to get us a little bit longer through it. A couple more and we're done. You know, God does his best work in the lion's den. If you look at the characters of Scripture, ones that did significant things for God, the men and women that did significant things for God in the Bible always had a lion's den. This is my theory. If I want to do great things for God, I have to have the kind of relationship with God that I can handle a lion's den. Because doing great things for God comes at a very high price tag. A very high price tag personally. You can't study the characters of the Bible that did significant things for God and not read the dripping of pain coming off their life. If I want to do great things for God, I've got to have the God of the lion's den. If every time I get to a 2 or to a 3, I say, God, I give up, I tap out, then we're going to only experience the depth of God's presence and strength at a level 3, and that will not help me fulfill his vision for my life. I need the strength of a 10. Experience. Paul said what? I prayed 3 times, and what did God say? My strength is sufficient for you. My power is made strong in your what? Weakness. How do I cultivate that? Only by going through times of tremendous weakness do I experience God's strength, which helps me do the things he wants me to do in my life. If you want to do great things for God, you've got to learn how to handle the lion's den. And God does his best work there. You will never experience the sweetness of God. You will never experience the richness of his presence if you don't go to the lion's den once in a while. That's where he does his best work. And then finally, stay faithful. But stay faithful and grow while in the den of tribulation. That's your choice. When I'm going through the den, I can ask God to get me out. I can abandon my faith. I can just endure and try and not go negative, or I can say, God, I'm in a tough spot. I want to be faithful and grow while I'm in the lion's den. You know, reading the prayer requests that come in every week, I know that many of you are going through the lion's den, a situation of loss or pain or suffering, setbacks, discouragement, depression, isolation, aloneness. So I think this particular study is so relevant to our lives today. May God give us the strength to endure and to grow in the middle of the lion's den. Amen? Let's stand together and pray. Dear God, thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. That's not just trite words. When life is good, those words don't ring that true in our ears. But when Daniel was down in that lion's den and the angel showed up, those words of your presence and your power, wow, they meant so much to him. And Lord, many of us have gone through the lion's den and we know that richness as we press into you for the very strength to get through a day. And Lord, some are in that lion's den right now. They have felt the stone cover the entrance. It's dark. The lions are growling. Help them to see your presence, Lord. That you're not going to necessarily slay all the lions. You're not going to have them fall asleep. But you're going to shut their mouths so that you can protect your people and get them through. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for the advocates of friendship. Thank you for the advocate of your spirit. Help us not to walk through tribulations simply trying not to become negative or critical, but help us to grow so that you can use us in greater ways for your kingdom, because it's all about your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great day today.